This is the Humboldt Chronicles.
I am the queen of everything. Gotta be high before I can sway. Light a tea and let it be. If you a viper.
I'm Chuck Rogers with producer Larry Trask. The Humboldt Chronicles is made possible by, and big thanks to, Eco Groovy Deals in Arcata, the Heart of Humboldt, Sensa Valley, and Satori Wellness in McKinleyville. Thank you very much. Couldn't do it without you. This hour is going to be devoted to a discussion of medical marijuana here in California. And in the studio with us are Harry Balance and Nigel Wallach of the Heart of Humboldt Dispensary in Arcata. Before we get to that huge issue, however, we want to touch on the news of the day. This is Legalization Day in Canada, nationwide. So, Harry and Nigel, first of all, thank you for making the time to talk with us today on the Humboldt Chronicles. Much appreciation for coming here to the studio. And I want to get your thoughts on the news of the day from Canada. What does that mean for us?
Well, thanks for having us down here, Chuck. It's a real treat. Got to say, way to go, Canada, eh? But it's hard-pressed to see exactly. I mean, it's hard for right now just to see exactly what's going to happen, just because it seems like there's already been a big influence by larger corporations into the Canadian market. You can even tell by the pictures in the stores, it's definitely a much more heavily run government type operation where it's definitely heavily regulated, and it seems like it's scaled to the much larger farms that seem to make all of us really uncomfortable around here.
And we keep hearing that maybe, Nigel, this could indicate, this is only, Canada's only the second country, by the way, to legalize it nationally, Uruguay being the other one, that this could give a little bit more impetus here in the U.S. for a federal rescheduling of marijuana. Is that what you hear? Or, I mean, who knows what's going to happen?
It's hard to say what's going to happen, but yeah, definitely going to put more pressure on the United States to get our act together when it comes to marijuana and this, how we schedule it as a at a federal level.
There have been some leaks coming from Washington. Imagine that. Recently that the administration is considering doing something federally on this issue after the November elections. Have you read about that the same way I have?
I've read a lot about it, and even stuff coming out of the White House from what I've read. And, you know, those people are all about money, so that's exactly what they're looking at. They're seeing large sums of cash coming from other states because of more progressive thinking. But, of course, they really don't understand the market and how it actually works, which is what makes it all so frightening. You know, vertical integration from the people that already know about it's what's the important thing.
And you guys deal with a lot of small farmers and small business people in the area, and who knows what federal legalization could mean for them as far as competition goes, right?
Correct.
Of course.
So we'll just have to see. But that is the news of the day, and it is huge. So we'll see how that affects us going forward, and we may return to that on this show at some point for sure. First of all, though, to the medical marijuana issue in California. As we all know, California went full tilt into medicinal marijuana in 1996 with Prop 215. At the time, there were few topics that could generate arguments like medical marijuana. Is it safe? Is it effective? Used for the treatment of what conditions? Is it addictive? Is this just a screen for legalization of marijuana generally? Well, since then, of course, research has moved ahead, and with the success of Prop 64 in 2016 and subsequent legislative work in Sacramento, we now have a regulated system for both medical and recreational use. So our focus in this hour is the medical side of things, and as I said, Harry Balance and Nigel Wallach are here from the Heart of Humboldt Dispensary in Arcata. We're still calling you guys a dispensary. Is that right? Is that still accepted?
That seems to be the terminology that everybody's using. I certainly stick with it.
We know what it means, right?
Yes, sir.
So when it comes to cannabis, we were talking before the show. Doctors recommend it; they don't prescribe it, and I get that distinction. What, in your experience as a provider, are physicians in this area recommending it for the most, or can you tell yet?
It's still a lot the same basic type of things, but. You still have the people coming in with tremors where you actually see that it actually works for things like Parkinson's. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can see them coming in where tremors are coming on and you see them in a day or two later and they're coming back in the store. And it's like a completely different situation. You know,
there's an improvement. You can massive improvement. See it.
Yes. And also the same way you saw the downside after July 1st when there wasn't the medicine in the stores. People who direly needed their medicine weren't getting it, and that was a real tragic part of it.
So, Nigel, you guys, I mean, anecdotally, you deal with patients, and you hear from them about the success when they use this, right?
Right.
And what do they tell you?
It depends on who it is. A lot of people say that they found something that works perfectly for them, and this is what they want. And then, like you said, when the new regulations came around, that it was hard for them to get that exact product that they needed for their ailments, and that became an issue. And some people find it to be a miracle drug to fix whatever they had, and then other people struggle to find their right ratio or the right medicine for them.
And different strains.
Different strains to have different effects for different people. And so there's a lot of working with it to find what's exactly right for them, but I feel like a lot of the patients that after they find what's exactly right for them,
they stick with it.
And then they're swear by it, and it's amazing to see that happen.
So you guys then have to be up to date on what strains there are and what the reports are from patients as to the success or failure of one strain or another for a different ailment, right?
Correct. And that's one of the most important parts of the job right there, is to be able to understand your patients as they're coming in and out of the store, talking with them talking to you about exactly how their situations or symptoms have improved based upon that or not. If they haven't, we've definitely got to try and find another route. And that goes back to the July 1st issue of when it comes to medicine. We were stuck with a lot of one kind of thing on the shelf at a time. And that didn't necessarily help everybody. And there was hardly any tinctures in the store. And that was real important medicine for people, especially when people do need a full spectrum medicine with as much of the cannabinoids they can get in there.
Right.
And when you're just dealing with ratios of just CBD and THC, and you're trying to really treat something that needs a full entourage effect, you couldn't do it.
I know that most of the dispensaries, they have an area set aside that's dedicated to medical marijuana. Do you have any feeling for, and I know we're less than a year into this, for what percentage of the business is specifically people coming in for medicinal use versus recreational use? Or is it kind of hard to tell?
It's kind of hard to say that directly, because so many of the people that were medical patients have let it lapse for a list of reasons.
And you don't have to have the card.
You don't have to have the card anymore. Right. A lot of the people that were making stronger doses of edibles aren't anymore, because they don't really want to make two different strengths of edibles just to have in the same store and on one side of it when they can sell half as much strength for twice as much as what they used to, as it were.
But would you say it's the medical side of it is significant?
Yes, whether it's in the medical side or on the recreational side.
Right.
It depends on what you refer to as medical, because we can't legally in the storefront, we cannot refer to somebody who's shopping on the recreational side as a medical patient because of the way that the laws are written. But there's a lot of people who come in for whatever their ailment is, and they shop for it on the recreational side, and it's the same products that you could find. There's only, like you said, the most companies aren't actually creating multiple products anymore to like even hit the medical limits. So there's only a handful of products that are specific to the medical inventory.
Okay.
So it's an interesting way in that direction. But there's a huge amount of sales that are for people who just are looking for CBD or something that's just not psychoactive, just for the effects that those give.
I'm glad you brought up CBD. That's the next thing I want to get to. I want to get specific about CBD. Cannabidiol, or cannabidiol, you hear it pronounced both ways. We've even talked about it here. It's a component of marijuana. Strains of marijuana can be grown that are CBD dominant and that contain little or no THC, which, as we know, is the component that produces the high. CBD is showing a lot of promise in medical research, and on one front in particular, childhood epilepsy, CBD seems to be giving some hope. A form of epilepsy called Dravet syndrome has heretofore been nearly impossible to control. CBD, though, is showing dramatic progress. I want you to listen now to Dr. Oren Davinsky, who studies the CBD epilepsy connection at New York University's Comprehensive Epilepsy Center. This is courtesy of NYU.
in this study, we treated children with Dravet syndrome, which is a very serious genetic form of epilepsy that unfortunately has a very high seizure burden and a very high mortality from epilepsy. That these children who had not responded to often 5 or 10 other treatments were given cannabidiol or a placebo in addition to their existing medications. Cannabidiol is the major non-psychoactive ingredient in cannabis, also known as marijuana. So cannabidiol does not produce any high or psychoactive properties and therefore has less potential side effects, especially for use in children, than a psychoactive compound such as THC.
We were in the double-blind placebo-controlled phase of the study, and we did that for 14 weeks, and we were like totally convinced that she was in placebo because her seizures didn't change at all. And then we were able to roll into the open-label extension, and the second day that we were in open-label and we knew that she was getting the actual drug, she went seizure-free, like completely seizure-free for 2 months, which has never happened.
The main findings of the study were that there was a very statistically significant reduction in the convulsive seizure frequency in patients who were randomized to cannabidiol when compared to patients who were randomized to placebo. So the message is that cannabidiol does work in reducing convulsive seizures in children with Dravet syndrome. My hope for the future is that this study will lead to more similar studies to assess cannabidiol and perhaps products containing both cannabidiol and THC in various forms of epilepsy.
All right, Harry and Nigel, do you guys hear stories such as that here in Humboldt?
Yes.
You do?
There's people that have moved to Colorado and Northern California for that very reason.
Really? So, and they come in and they tell you, I mean, anecdotally, they say this helps. I mean, can you imagine a parent who has a child with epilepsy and they have probably tried everything under the sun and nothing has worked? And they're just tearing their hair out, not knowing what to do, because as a parent, they want to help their kid, right? And here is something that, if you listen to that mom in that clip right there, it was the only thing that worked. Imagine the change in the life for not only the child, but that family.
Everybody.
Everybody.
I mean, it's completely life-changing that something like that is so readily available, but your hands are completely tied to get to it unless you move to one specific place or another.
Mm-hmm. Are physicians in this area on board with this, or do you know?
I'd imagine so. I mean, we don't directly hear from physicians. People come in with their physician's recommendations in order to be able to get the medicine that they need. But aside from that, we don't really deal directly with physicians specifically,
right,
unless there's a specific recommendation from that physician written on paper about what this patient would need.
Nigel, procuring strains for specific needs like this, is that easy to do? Is it difficult?
It's getting easier. We had a really hard time getting CBD heavy strains back in after July 1st because of the changes in compliance laws. We just recently actually got them back in when we couldn't find them for a long time. And we've been able to get it now, but there's definitely a little bit of a weight on some stuff coming, specific strains coming back through.
So what do you tell patients? Just give us some time. Yeah. Come back. Right. Now recently the FDA did approve a specific CBD for treatment of Dravet syndrome that we just heard about. From a business standpoint, you guys, is that what does that mean for you? Is there a chance that something like that then at some point, you were talking about big business earlier, maybe only available at standard pharmacies? Is there that possibility?
I certainly hope not, because it seems like the pharmaceutical industry only really cares about keeping people sick as opposed to getting them healthy, which is why so many people have turned to cannabis in the first place.
Mm-hmm. So we don't know yet what it's going to mean. That's still another part of this that we have to navigate.
It's all a mystery right now.
Yeah.
Still working on it. And hopefully the right people are trying to pull the right strings.
Yeah. I assume, though, that the most common use for medical marijuana might just be pain control. Is that right or not? I don't know. You tell me.
Basically, yes. Yes. I mean, that's, again, a lot of patients that come in do have a fair amount that, you know, used to be completely dependent upon opioids and things of that nature that are not anymore.
They don't need them anymore. So it's safer.
And it's of all ages.
Well, yeah.
Of all ages. And it's one of those, it's really, it blows your mind sitting there behind the counter with all the things that do come through your door that aren't just someone looking to have a good afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Right. I've also been told that there are people who can't tolerate things like Advil, for example, or mm-hmm. Aleve, or I mean, pick your over-the-counter mm-hmm. pain control. They can tolerate the products that you would sell. That, again, is a life-changing thing, right? Well,
for instance,
you hear those anecdotally as well?
For instance, if someone has cirrhosis of the liver or something like mm-hmm. that, there's no way they can take Advil. It could very well kill them. And again, I have a handful of patients that come in for their pain medication and things like that, and it's again, it's a wonderful plant. I hate to say it's a panthea of cures, because it's most certainly that the jury's out on that, but to see all the things that it treats and how you can help people with everything in the plant, it's, and just even the other day there was over 20 new cannabinoids that were mm-hmm. just discovered and how their use is. It, again, the stuff you learn every day, it's hard to even keep up. It's like I've got to push something out to make room for the new stuff.
How do you stay up to date on all of that research? It is. I mean, even when we're researching these shows, we find that there's so much new information out there. It's almost overwhelming. How do you stay up to date on it?
A lot of our bud tenders read a lot about, in their free time or even at work, sometimes when it's slow, they read about whatever the current research is. And we also have been bringing in the vendors and their sales reps a lot of the time to kind of give us their pitch about why their specific, especially with the medical companies, their specific thing, what it's good for and what each product that they make can treat. And then we can help take that information and bring it to the customers.
And also, there's so many different ways to apply that medicine, whether it's transdermally, orally, it's inhaled, it's ingested through eating. And all of that has a separate effect as to how the medicine's going to treat you too. So, for instance, for anxiety, and if I'm using ratios to help it, normally I use tinctures during the day, like an 18-1. If I have an attack that's beyond what's control, then I'll definitely take a vape cartridge hit, and that hits it immediately, just takes it right down to nothing.
And you have to educate patients who come in about all that, right?
Right, and you don't want someone taking too much CBD load as a way to stop anxiety in the middle of the night. If they take it right before they go to bed,
right,
they're probably going to be counting speckles in the ceiling for a while, because that almost works against you when you're going to bed.
Mm-hmm. It sure
gives you an alertness, a calm alertness, but still alert.
But still, you're not sleeping.
Yeah, you're not going right to bed.
Right.
Works great for the daytime like that.
But. Yeah. We're going to continue our discussion with Harry Balance and Nigel Wallach from the Heart of Humboldt in Arcata. In just a moment, we'll be hearing from two more researchers who are looking at numerous possibilities for the future use of medical marijuana. We'll get to those discussions in just a minute. First, a reminder that we'll be taking your calls a little later at 707-786-5946. You can email questions or comments to us, if that's easier, at studio@humboldtchronicles.com. Back after a short break. Welcome back to the Humboldt Chronicles. In the first part of our discussion, we outlined the genesis of medical marijuana in California, and we talked a little bit about its use in treatments for a number of conditions, including epilepsy. But that's just the beginning. There are signs of hope for medical marijuana in so many other areas, including Parkinson's disease, multiple sclerosis, fibromyalgia, endometriosis, interstitial cystitis, glaucoma, PTSD, nausea, HIV, Crohn's disease, and more and more and more. It's a long list. Again, here with us in the studio are Harry Balance and Nigel Wallach of the Heart of Humboldt in Arcata. So, guys, when I look at this list of conditions that seem to respond positively to medical marijuana treatment, Parkinson's, MS, epilepsy, some of these things, there are some clear patterns that suggest researchers are on the right track. Is that right, or is this just wishful thinking on my part?
I think it's correct, actually. Just with all the research that's been done since actually first really discovering mm-hmm. cannabinoids and then the endocannabinoid system, and that was from the 60s for the first one, late 80s for the second, and then in the mid-90s actually developing its, or figuring out the relation of the endocannabinoid system and the cannabinoids inside the human body. This is all new science.
It is new science, and partly because people weren't able to research it heretofore. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah.
And now they are, so we're finding out new things almost every day.
Again, that's the mind-blowing part. I know I sound like a broken record, but every day I read through something on the internet. You know, it's just part of my morning reading ritual. Some people in business go for the Wall Street Journal. I go for Gondrepreneur, Marijuana Retail Report, something from Normal. I'm going through all of these things, and there's so many different articles, some good, some bad, but there's always something to take
there's
away from it,
new.
And there's so much more research material coming through every day. I mean, that's... that's why I do it.
Well, let's listen in here to Dr. David Allen, who, by the way, is a cardiologist and researcher, Dr. Rob Streisfeld. They're explaining how it all works and what's down the line, they think, with medical marijuana. We're going to hear first from Dr. Allen, who talks about the discovery of the endocannabinoid system, which he says was about 30 years ago. This is courtesy of the Cannabis Advisory.
And we really didn't understand the significance of its discovery. We found out that this is a chemical communication that your body has. It's not electrical, it's chemical, and it's kind of like the hormone systems that people are familiar with. And your body makes these cannabinoids, they're endogenous, so they're endocannabinoids, and they perform some miraculous functions in the body. And we're just learning the significance of these functions. And basically, the endocannabinoid system is responsible for homeostasis. Most people don't understand what that really means, but it's the body's ability to maintain itself and function in the proper environment. And so it's critically important that that doctors in the future understand this control mechanism. And we're finding out that that manipulation of this endocannabinoid system will control diabetes. It controls cancer. It controls whether you can survive a heart attack or stroke. And so this is critically important for doctors to understand this new science. And the discovery of the endocannabinoid system is the single most important medical scientific discovery ever, and will save more lives than the discovery and application of sterile surgical technique. And I'm a heart surgeon saying that. So more people will be saved by manipulation of the endocannabinoid system than are currently saved by surgery.
But recent research has been looking at cannabis and the different cannabinoids. There's over 80 plus cannabinoids discovered in the cannabis plant. The second most dominant one besides THC is cannabidiol or CBD. Okay. And the research now is over 1,200 peer-reviewed journals on CBD. It's probably the most exciting and researched ingredient or substance right now around the world. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have the psychoactive or high that is associated with THC, but it has a tremendous amount of other benefits, including research shows anti-seizure, anti-epileptic, which is why it's gotten a lot of popularity. You deal with children with seizure disorders, and they're getting benefits from this plant in a safe, non-toxic way versus all these drugs that typically don't work. Mm-hmm. And there's neuroprotective benefits, so you see a lot with concussions and the NFL. There's a lot of research being done now with chronic traumatic encephalopathy or chronically banging your head a lot. There's anti-anxiety, which is really important. It's the anti-THC of sorts. It calms you down. It helps you manage stress better, which is how I look at it. It's much more as a preventative or daily use substance than just treating disease states. And there's immune support. There's it's a huge antioxidant. There's just a tremendous... it's easier sometimes to talk about what it doesn't do than what it does.
Back here in the studio, Harry and Nigel, do you get that specific with some of the patients who come into the Heart of Humboldt, or some more interested in others in how exactly it works? Or do they just want to know that it does work? Some of both, I'm sure.
Some of both, but yeah, people want to know why it works. And a lot of the time that's when I kind of step in. Again, it's a medicinal issue, not a medical issue. It's can't really do anything except for have someone tell me some symptoms and try and deal with it the best that I can, and understanding that, like, for instance, CET, Alzheimer's, and dementia, they all seem to have the same kind of end result, no matter how they got there. but the anti-plaque properties of CBD and CBDA even as well, they protect the brain from that. And if you've seen what happens with people like Junior Seau or your grandparents or something like that, if there's any way you can stop that, why wouldn't you?
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, you hear all the time certain NFL players who have retired. And over the years, they begin to see some of these symptoms. And a lot of them have come out and said, look, this helps. So the NFL needs to get on board with this.
They should be having that in the locker room, even if it's the hemp version, which isn't necessarily as strong of a medicine, as it were. If they had that in the locker rooms and administered that immediately after a sharp hit to the head, the preventative benefits, again, the idea is preventative medicine. Preventative medicine that saves everybody money, time, lives, you name it.
Right.
Again, like you said about the sterile surgery.
Yeah. Well, and CTE, I mean, the first word in there is chronic, which means over and over and over and over, ongoing, these little hits to the head, even though they don't knock them out, but cumulatively, over a lot of years, being hit by a 300-pound guy across the line from you, of course it's going to have an impact.
Well, they've even talked about children playing soccer and heading the ball all the time.
Absolutely.
I mean, I can't imagine as a kid all the soccer I played, given I was a goalkeeper, so...
You seem fine now.
That's debatable.
but it's true. It's something that everybody needs to understand and get on board with, and the research is there.
It's
Like you said, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, it's anecdotal. It hardly is anymore. Sure, a lot of stuff hasn't been done with people in a white coat, but a lot of people have been taking chances for years because they had to, because the medicine wasn't there, and the quote unquote medical community wasn't there apparently either.
Yeah. Do you guys encounter patients who tell you, and I've been reading about this, it pops up in a lot of the things I read, that they don't have a doctor's recommendation, and again, in California, you don't need a card, but that they don't have a doctor's recommendation because they're reluctant to talk to their primary care physician about treatment with cannabis. And if so, how should patients who, for whatever reason, may be reluctant to bring it up with their physician?
I couldn't really understand. I mean, I guess if you have that old stigma and it's just not something you're comfortable with,
right.
And the doctor's still a very professional guy, and for the same reason people don't like having their ID scanned when they come into the store or you know, having a membership, just so that we don't oversell them and get our license taken away.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, Big Brother's getting this information and they're going to come hunting you down for smoking a joint.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and the other thing, yeah, it could be a generational thing for, mm-hmm. sure,
for sure,
with the patient and the physician as well. That could be, again, there seems to be, and the people we just heard from, one was a cardiologist, another is an MD researcher. So there should be enough out there now that people should be able to get past that. I guess all we can do is hope on that.
I mean, on that same level, my mother, you know, she's had cancer 3 times and still would never touch cannabis for any reason whatsoever on any planet, but is happy to take pain pills that are prescribed by a doctor during chemo, which makes...
Yeah.
No sense to me, and it's probably a good reason why I live on the other side of the country.
I was just going to say, is she in California?
Nope.
No, she's not.
Nope.
But do you try to convince her?
That it's not worth the time. You know what I mean? There's only so much information you can give someone if they choose to turn their back on information.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just simply because they politically or religiously or whatever their social reason for it, uh-huh. to ignore the information that's out there. They have the internet too.
Yeah, true. Do you find that you have some patients who are coming in from a certain group of doctors more so than others? I mean, are there physicians that know?
I that one's hard to say, you know, because again, there's a handful of physicians that are well known around here. So, like, you know, Dr. Diane Dickinson and things, mm-hmm. like that. We do see. I guess that would be the overwhelming majority. I take that.
You
back.
Think?
Yeah.
Okay. We talked about CTE. There's also dementia.
Yes.
That we hear a lot about, read a lot about, and at least some of the anecdotal evidence out there is that Alzheimer's, that there are benefits, mm-hmm. and as big a problem as that is in this society, one would think that this would be something that physicians who treat people who are advanced age, which is where you see a lot of that, would be on board with this? Do you have patients coming in with problems that derive from dementia, Alzheimer's, that whole set of conditions?
I'm seeing a lot more people coming in right now that are talking about it. Some people are starting to treat it more that way. Mm-hmm.
And is it a generational thing? I mean,
well, definitely, because most of the people with Alzheimer's right now, they're coming in with their children that are my age in their early 40s, mid 40s, late 40s, with
who
their children
are like,
okay, we need to go do this. You have to check this out because nothing else is working. If we can at least turn back time on this disease or at least stop it in its tracks at this moment and save what time we have, then... and. Once it gets bad enough, generally people get on board in this day and age.
Well, you know what? That reminds me of something else I read recently, and that's this. This is a plant that, depending upon you know what you read, goes back at least 6,000 years. Some people say 12,000 years. You know, it's been in human society for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. Either way, yet over the last, 120 years or so, the reefer madness info that got out there, the disinformation... Look at the damage it did.
They changed the name from cannabis to marijuana, which was, you know, I almost view marijuana as like a racial slur at this point because it was used to convince people that, you know, the scourge from the South is going to come up and take everything of yours now. Just it's, as it's said by 45, you know, it's the same nightmare. And it's just how you can't operate like that.
Well, do you hear the same thing, Nigel? Generational?
Definitely generational. You'll see the stigma go away with some of the older customers that come in. They're much more reluctant to come in, I think. That a large majority of our customers are younger, but there's definitely people out there who would say, I would never think I'd be in here, you know, that they, after it got legalized, they're like, okay, maybe I can look at this as another form of medicine.
But once they try it and have success, does that veil go away?
And then they try to bring in people that they know, and they try to break their stigma down. They try to bring other, you know, the word of mouth is an amazing tool with this, especially with a lot of the older generations.
Well, they say there's no greater advocate than a convert, right? Somebody who was on the other side at one time and then learned.
No doubt about it.
Yeah. Busy with all this? I mean, how do you guys, do you see over this last, what's it been now, about 10 months since January 1st, since legalization, do you see more of this ramping up? Or is it, have you plateaued?
We are ramping up.
Really?
I would say.
Yeah.
100%. It's been a wild ride, but it's definitely going in a great direction, I think.
And do you hear that from some of the other dispensaries throughout the people you talk to throughout the state?
Yes. And some of the breakthroughs that are coming through on every different kind of product right now is just the advancement is incredible.
There's so much that so many companies that are pouring money into their research department that they find that's working well for whatever symptoms that they're trying to cure.
And as a dispensary, do you get folks from some of those research companies who are coming by to tell you, hey, this is what we're doing, keep an eye on this, or is that not happening quite yet?
That's kind of what I meant by the sales reps earlier, that they come in and tell us what their next great thing that they're bringing in. And a lot of it's to sell it, but a lot of it, you see the same different companies pick up the same things that are working well towards they'll have the same end goal, really.
And they definitely ask us what's working too, especially the people in the front counter, because if their product's not helping people, if it's not working, then they definitely need to do something a little bit different.
Back to the drawing board. Now, are those, because of the way we are legally here, are those sales reps, if you want to call it that, only from California? Or could somebody from Washington or Oregon or Colorado come here to tell you about what they're doing?
I've talked to people from other states about the stuff that they're doing in their state, because there's a lot of companies that work in multiple areas or have investments in multiple areas. And we can't bring their product over state lines, but they can come and try to do the same thing in our state. So there's definitely people who are coming from out of state and looking at what we're doing well or telling us what they're doing well.
So let's say they're located in Denver or Seattle. Maybe they have an office here in California just so they can then bring to you whatever they're doing, because they can't transport it across, right?
Right. And there's some people that are replicating their business model from, say, another state inside this state, just as, you know, certain edible manufacturers, the really big ones you can find in Colorado and California, and some oil manufacturers you can find in California and in, say, Oregon, but they're definitely not bringing anything across anybody's state line. Right. They just have manufacturing facilities in multiple places.
Okay. Our guests, Harry Balance and Nigel Wallach from the Heart of Humboldt in Arcata, are going to be staying with us. And next, we'll take a look at the acceptance or not of medical marijuana in the established medical community. You can reach us at 707-786-5946 or studio at HumboldtChronicles.com. Before a break, though, a cannabis calendar minute. If you're in the cannabis industry or just interested in it, here are a few events going on soon that you might want to know about.
Welcome to this month's edition of the Cannabis Calendar, brought to you by the Humboldt Chronicles. The calendar features information on upcoming cannabis-related conferences, events that take place within a day's drive of Humboldt County. The CanMed 2018 conference will take place October 22nd through the 24th at the Luskin Conference Center on the UCLA campus. The conference will feature top medical cannabis researchers presenting their latest findings regarding the efficacy of treating a variety of conditions with cannabis. More information is available at cannmedevents.com. The High Times Cannabis Cup California will take place at the Cal Expo Center in Sacramento October 27th and 28th. The event bills itself as, quote, the world's leading marijuana trade show, celebrating the world of ganja through competitions, instructional seminars, expositions, celebrity appearances, concerts, and product showcases. Find out more at cannabiscup.com. Finally, the Apothecarium in San Francisco will present Cannabis 101 on Thursday, November 1st at 5 p.m. The Apothecarium's public education officer, Sarah Payan, will present a beginner's guide to cannabis and the dispensary experience. Apothecarium.com for all the details. If you'd like to have your event listed on the cannabis calendar, email us the details at studio@humboldtchronicles.com.
I'm going to say it again. We have the best music. The name of that is If You a Viper. Aaron McEwen sings it at the beginning of the show. It was written by Stuff Smith all the way back in 1936 and popularized by Fats Waller. Glad we have that. You're listening to the Humboldt Chronicles. Here in the studio with us are Harry Balance and Nigel Wallach of the Heart of Humboldt in Arcata. If you have a comment or a question, feel free to call us at 707-786-5946 or email us at studio@humboldtchronicles.com. Harry and Nigel, thanks again for being here. This has been a fascinating discussion. I got to ask you, one of the issues that has come up in show after show after show during this run that we've been doing is the issue of banking. Still an issue? Because that's a federal, you know, the federal banking system. Still an issue?
100%. Some people can't accept checks. A lot of companies don't have banks. A lot of companies use something that they're banking not under their company's name.
Yeah.
There's a lot of iffy things. I don't want to get anyone in trouble, but
yeah,
there's...
Right.
There's some big companies out there who we deal with who we have to pay cash, and it's a shame that that this is how.
One more thing to worry about:
financial prejudice, I guess.
There is a federal solution to that, or a public banking solution here in California. Who knows? I mean, people talk about all kinds of remedies for that, but it still is an issue. Is the point, right?
Yep.
All right. Well, so far in our focus on medical marijuana, we've been touching on the successful use of especially CBD to treat numerous conditions, including epilepsy and so on. And I guess one of the things I want to know, I'm very curious about whether your view is that the medical community is less skeptical now or not.
Much less skeptical.
Much less. Much,
I mean, I hate to say that. When Dr. Sanjay Gupta jumped up on CNN and said everything, that broke down the dam.
Replaying that a lot.
And it keeps going and going and going, which is great.
And he's a neurologist. I mean, his background is neurology.
For him to apologize for his previous views even, like to take it to that level, that's abiding by your Hippocratic Oath as a doctor, in my opinion.
Yeah. Same thing? Is that what you...
Yeah, I've actually talked to my personal doctor about it, and he's very open to... He was asking me what the best avenue for, say, his patients who don't want to just walk into the dispensary because they have a stigma about it or whatever. Mm-hmm. If there's another avenue that they can go through, like have an appointment to have to speak with somebody who could fill them in with more information. And he was very interested in how he could use the local dispensaries to help get his patients something that he would think that would help them.
That's a huge step forward.
Yeah.
Larry, I believe you said you have a question.
Yeah, I do. I actually got a couple of questions, somewhat unrelated, but both of them sort of inspired by some things that Nigel said. I'm wondering about the consistency of the product that you're able to get. I mean, if you find something that has just the right composition, that's popular and effective with certain people, do you have a difficult time getting that consistently over time, or are the producers pretty good at keeping things consistent?
So for the tinctures and capsules and things like that, they're very consistent. They've been consistent as far as I can tell all through and through. Some of the other things, edibles vary in potency a little bit here and there. Of course, the flower, it's a plant. It's going to be different every batch you have. So those things, all the things that are directly derived from the plant is going to not be so consistent every single batch, but some of the stuff that goes through more processing is very consistent.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. And we were talking just a second ago about changing attitudes in the medical community. I think there are probably changing attitudes in the patient community as well, particularly, and I suppose this is somewhat related to one's age. But what would you say to people who are listening to this and who are starting to think, well, maybe there's some cannabis medicine that could be helpful for my particular condition, but I'm not part of this world and I'm intimidated going into a dispensary?
Well, I'd be happy to tell that person to give us at the Heart of Humble a call and set up an appointment with either myself or one of our other bud tenders or canises, and set up a private appointment with us so we can actually sit aside and talk with you in a private setting and introduce you to cannabis and what medicinal properties it might have in store for you, and without having to have everybody huddled around you for whether it be recreational or their own medicinal needs. We can just introduce you in a nice, calm, quiet way over on our medical side while we have the walls up there and it's set aside for you.
I would imagine you do a lot of education like that. Is that right or no? I mean, I don't know. You tell me.
I do a lot. And it's every day you always end up with at least one customer that you spend, or patient that you spend 30 or 40 minutes with. And sometimes, they'll buy something. Sometimes they won't. But one way or another, generally... You've spread a little light to them. Maybe they don't get it from you this time. Maybe they'll come back to you the next time. Maybe they're not from here and they go back to whatever city they're from, and then they change their mind and they go to it. And in the grand scheme of things, that's really what we all want, is for everybody to benefit from this plant.
And for some patients, do they have to go through a series of trials to figure out exactly what it is that does or doesn't work with them? And, I mean, from one strain to another, but also edibles or... smoking, or what? How do you walk them through all that?
With that one, I specifically just start them with, would you like to, try and eat it? Are you dead set against smoking it, or was something you did back a long time ago? Okay, they're not into smoking. For instance, vaporization is a nice clean way to go to inhale it and get immediate results. Mm-hmm. Tinctures, I kind of look at them as more of a long term type thing, a whole medicine type thing. You do those for the long term. Trying to get at that with sounding right, but then also the tinctures are just really important with that. The edibles, that's kind of the one thing I'm glad that they started microdosing with, because you can introduce seniors and things like that. It's not like the 90s where you're trying to buckle your friend's knees and see how strong you can make one brownie. Mm-hmm. Now it's actually to a point where you can add on and not worry about how much you're adding on, and right. Kind of see what the proper rate, ratio or dosing is.
Because the edible will affect different people in different ways. The second metabolism and the whole thing.
Sure. Once it breaks down in the stomach, it's 100-fold more strong than it was.
100-fold.
Well, that might be a little bit wrong. Maybe like 15-20-fold, but it definitely hits a lot different, a lot stronger.
And with different people.
Mm-hmm. Everybody's different on that one. And that's kind of the one thing I always tell people, too. You can always add on, but you can't take it away.
Right.
So start with 10. Or even 5 milligrams, mm-hmm.
see where that takes you.
Let us know how that works, and then we'll talk to you later about whether to increase or decrease or whatever.
Or even later that evening, if you're not feeling enough of the effects that you want, mm-hmm. you can add 10 milligrams, and you're not going to have that hard of a hit, say, if you would just ate 20 milligrams all at once. That way it's going to gradually increase the effectiveness.
Do people ever call you and say, hey, I just tried this, and I'm not sure what's happening to me. Help me out here. Do you get calls like that? And if so, what do you do?
I think that's one of the lucky things about Humboldt County is, you know, most people are pretty aware that if you went too far, you know, some ice cream and an apple generally gets you back to a safe landing place.
Yeah. You're probably going to fall asleep or something at some point, right?
At some point, you know.
What about now different counties, you know, part of what Prop 64 did, it allowed a little bit of local jurisdiction control over the whole thing. So I guess it varies from county to county, but around here, some dispensaries can grow their own. Is that right? Others cannot. Is that?
I'm not sure if anyone is not allowed to or cannot. We do personally, and it's all licensed separately. So there's different licensing that you can get. There's manufacturing, there's cultivating, there's retail. So depending on the licensing, you can have. We have all of them. We have all the licensing.
So you would be considered vertically integrated, right?
Yeah.
You do the whole thing, the whole deal.
Yeah, we have a micro business license, and so we can go all the way from growing it to selling it, and so that's great for us. But
I would imagine that would give you a lot more control over what's in your shop, of course, because you know exactly what it is, how you've grown it.
Right. Right, we can definitely guarantee that we're going to be giving a consistent product that we have, but we also don't manufacture to a lot of the we don't do anything besides just flower with ours. We do flower and pre-rolls, and that's all that we do with our cannabis. So we're not making any tinctures or anything like that. So there's that whole, we have to outsource all that, but
go ahead.
I was going to say, and the nice thing about that too is we know how it's grown and what it's grown with. As opposed to, say, Emerald Family Farms or somebody like that, we know that the product is grown well with proper standards and mm-hmm. things like that, but I couldn't tell you what fertilizer, you know, or how they're making their fertilizer, or what type of tea they're using in order to fertilize their plants, or if they're from the basics. I can tell you that it passed the micro. I can tell you that it passed the biological and what the THC percentage is, give or take a few points.
Is that a competitive advantage for somebody that has a license like that? Or do you know?
I imagine to some degree it is, because you have the ability to have your own product and other people's flowers on the on the shelf at the same time.
Go ahead.
I think it's definitely a competitive advantage. We have more than other people. We can offer other things that from ourselves that people enjoy or whatever, and we have the ability to manipulate that within our own storefront. Mm-hmm. Which is a lot of people don't have. They get what they get, it seems like.
Yeah. Now, we're in October, so we're coming up on the end of the first full year. And we're going to get a lot of numbers from around the state, from the county, from cities, from the state itself, sometime in January, maybe. We'll see. That's what we've been kind of hearing. So far, from month to month to month, how are you guys seeing this year? Is it shaping up to be what you thought it was going to be before January 1st? Have you been surprised, or what kind of end of the year predictions do you have, or is it too early?
I'm not sure where it's going. It's early for me. It's hard for me to. It's been such a interesting ride that it's hard to say what's going to happen in 3 months or whatever. Mm-hmm. We get thrown with some curveballs, and then you have to roll with it a little bit.
And you definitely see there's definitely an ebb and flow as far as on the front end of the retail side of it, and you definitely see it at the end of the day and at the end of the week. It's steadily been growing upward. Business is definitely seeming to get better and better and definitely more steady, but there's still always just that constant flux. And I guess trying to judge the habits of cannabis users can be like trying to herd cats. You know what I mean? You can count on the 5th and the 20th they'll be in the store, but the rest, good luck with that.
End of the week, people stocking up for the weekend.
Always got your Friday, and then you've
so got Friday's a big day.
Friday and payday, and you can always count on those.
Fridays and payday. Okay.
It's the first thing I think about when I get out of the bank.
Different times of the day. Busy times of the day?
Yeah, there's like the rush hour when people are getting off work and heading home and things like that when they've got a little free time.
All right.
I hate to say lunch breaks, but, it's time when people get a half hour to run some errands.
Sometimes
run errands. It doesn't necessarily mean they're out medicating. It just means they're getting some stuff done.
Right after January 1st, there were some delays in getting the licensing to open. How did that go for you guys? I haven't even asked you that over the last year.
We were closed for the month of January.
The whole month?
Mm-hmm. We had some issues changing between directors at our store, and that everything didn't get done properly, and so it took us a little bit longer to open, so we missed out on the first month of legalization, unfortunately.
Okay, but you got open sometime in February.
Yeah.
Okay. February 5th, was it?
I believe so.
Something like that.
It was very early in February.
We heard a lot of stories from around the state like that. That there were some that got quickly, some that had to wait for, like you said, at least a month or so.
Yeah, I remember getting a call on Thursday night going, "You're hired. Can you be here tomorrow by 1?
we're almost out of time, but I want to get you guys to react to something that I read recently. This is from Dr. Peter Grinspoon, who is a contributing editor of the Harvard Health blog, which is published by Harvard University School of Medicine. Now, in this, he's writing to other physicians. So he's writing to his colleagues, other physicians, and reminding them that patients are embracing medical marijuana and that doctors need to be open-minded and non-judgmental. So here's how he closes his article. "I often hear complaints from other doctors that there isn't adequate evidence to recommend medical marijuana, but there is even less scientific evidence for sticking our heads in the sand." Your reaction to that?
It's spot on.
Wouldn't you say?
Yeah. I mean, it's...
And again, this is from Harvard Medical School. So, it looks like in the medical community there's still a little bit of a tug of war going on.
There's so many contradictory things. For instance, in 1997, UCLA did some research to see if cannabis smoking was going to cause you cancer if it was bad for your health. Mm-hmm. And in their study, again, studies can find all kinds of results. Yeah. It depends on what your control is.
Right.
But they found it inconclusive that it causes long-term damage to your lungs. Mm-hmm. Smoking cannabis.
And look at all the benefits we're discovering now day after day after day.
But for whatever reason, we still have to put a warning label on the side of every product that says this product might cause you cancer.
Yeah. Still. Do you guys have, before we close it off, anything else you want us to know about that we didn't get to touch on here? We've only got about a minute left here.
No, I think we've covered a lot of bases, and with a minute left, that's probably not enough room
right.
for us to...
Yeah, we could go on and on, huh?
It's hard to fit 10 pounds in a 5-pound bag.
Well, look, thank you guys again for making the trip here to be in the studio. We really appreciate it. And we want to thank our guests, Harry Balance and Nigel Wallach of the Heart of Humboldt Dispensary in Arcata, for making the time to talk to us. Larry, I'm guessing, like me, you learned a lot, huh?
More than I could possibly go into. What I mostly learned as we were doing this is we should have, how nice it would have been if we had started doing this research a long time ago without the ridiculous restraints that were placed upon it. But that's probably a discussion for another time.
Yeah, but at least we're getting there. I know, I hear you. Totally agree. I'm Chuck Rogers with producer Larry Trask. This edition of the Humboldt Chronicles will be posted soon at 941lounge.com, lostcoastoutpost.com, and at iTunes for listening and downloading. Want to thank again our sponsors. Couldn't do it without you. Eco Groovy Deals in Arcata, Satori Wellness in McKinleyville, Sensa Valley, and the Heart of Humboldt. Audio clips in this show are courtesy of New York University and the Cannabis Advisory. We will be back with the Humboldt Chronicles at 6 p.m. on the third Wednesday of each month, which means we will be seeing you next time on November the 22nd at 6 p.m.